The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
I'm Lefty.
Hi, I'm Trench.
Hi, I'm drinking.
And that's
I'm Steve-O.
Steve-O.
What are you drinking, Steve-O?
What are you drinking?
A bottle of Sortilege maple whiskey just came in special order, and I have earned this treat today. But as a polar opposite of that, Cap, what are we talking about?
We're talking about nerdy fitness today. This is a Nerdy Show microsode. That's where we talk about what you want us to talk about for 15 minutes or more. And in this case, Starf has written in a request. He says, it's tough to stay healthy in a world full of Mountain Dew and pizza rolls. What's a nerd to do? From Fitocracy to DDR to even mundane techniques like standing desks, what are the most effective, your favorite, or just the most interesting techniques towards getting exercise as a nerd? So before we get going, you probably know Trench and I, we're regular hosts here on Nerdy Show. Steve-O is the lead host of Friday Night Fan Fiction, and also teams up with Trench to be part of Nerdy Show's stream team over on our Twitch channel. But Lefty, it's been a while since we've had Lefty Lucy on the show. Lefty's, well, one of the main characters on Dungeons and Doritos, our tabletop role-playing podcast, recently back from the dead, continuing on monthly adventures at dungeonsanddoritos.com. But, you're better known as a lot of things other than that.
Yes, it's true, Cap. I am a burlesque performer, also a nerdlesque performer. I produce the International Nerdlesque Festival in New York that's happening this April. I do straitjacket escapes. I art model. I teach act development classes. And I also do organize your life sessions, where I help people turn their homes into something they can practically use for their day-to-day and, you know, help teach people habits that are based on their actual experience of life and not just a theory.
So you've got a lot of practical experience for many of the topics that we're going to be tackling today.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, it's probably time that we kicked things off.
Would you like me to start this off?
I think we should, because Steve-O, out of all of us here at Nerdy Show, you're the only person who's made a bit of a spectacle out of your weight loss.
Spectacle is a very generous way to put it. But yes, currently I am on the Nerdy Show Twitch stream team, doing at least once a week, more often than not, multiple times a week, turning the open source client for DDR, Pump It Up, called Stepmania, into an interactive fitness experience where people request songs. I'll post song packs that people can do on their own dance pads at home or on their keyboards if they don't have any. Also, as somebody who in 2008 went on a quest to lose a lot of weight, I was 242 pounds. And then I'm currently sitting at about 190. My lowest was 165, which is my goal again. But man, married life has made me a lot more stressed and a lot less likely to spend the same dedication getting there. But I digress. I can speak particularly about video game fitness related things. You know, there's been a lot of high profile fitness video game tie-ins. You mentioned Fitocracy, which is a social encouragement client to get people to do their workouts, share their workouts, and encourage each other. It's kind of like a game. There's a couple of mobile apps that sort of turn tasks like that, particularly chores and fitness, into like a video game. There's an RPG game whose name escapes me at the moment. But basically, you unlock new content if you continue doing your to-do list, and you can make fitness a part of that. But the person requesting it said specifically, you know, how is a nerd to get their workout in? Combining video games and fitness is a fantastic way to do it. We Fit, for all of its hyperbole, did a very competent job of getting people up and active. Pokemon Go, combining video games and exercise, and a property that so many people still hold near and dear. Stepmania is a fantastic concept, whereas DDR, you know, the Konami franchises and other clients like In the Groove and Beatmania have not been held well as of later years. Having an open source client where people can download all the songs that they want, people make custom charts for it, So doing fitness to music, nerdy music, there's Cheryl's Riley stuff, there's Share for the Dark Lord, there's MC Frontalot charts, like there's tons of stuff out there. Even video game songs and remixes have their own Stepmania charts that you can dance to.
Well, that's a good point for me to jump in and ask a question, because you're saying charts in Stepmania. So is that like a playlist? Like, what does that mean?
Okay, a chart is the conversion of the song into arrows that you step on. So a Stepmania chart consists of, for DDR, the four arrows and multiple difficulties, sometimes a singular difficulty, that you step to on rhythm with the song. The easier the difficulty, the less rigorous a workout you'll get. It takes a little while for a person to get oriented to stepping in four or five different directions. However, once you get used to it, you up the difficulty and it becomes more rigorous. There's one song in particular that is basically my white whale. Symphony X did a huge song back in like as late 90s, early 2000s called The Odyssey, a 24-minute spanning metal song in multiple movements. And the entire thing has a Stepmania chart to it. Its minimum difficulty is a 9. The original difficulty is from 1 to 10. This one goes all the way up to, like, I think 16.
Oh.
So, wow. I still have not been able to complete it because there is a section in the middle where in a 3-minute time span, there's 300 steps and 200 jumps, which is two arrows stepping simultaneously. It's not fun, but it is really energizing.
If you wanted to get into Stepmania, what kind of pad do you use? Do you use like a rollout, like kind of soft vinyl or DDR pad, or do you use a metal DDR pad?
I've used them all, actually, as I've never played DDR before 2 summers ago.
I imagine they all suffer from Steve-O's curse.
What's Steve-O's curse?
Unfortunately, that's very true. There's a running gag that anything I touch electronically, as long as it's one that I own and plan to use for myself, is going to fail in some unpredictable and spectacular fashion. If it's something for somebody else, it goes fine. But if it's for me, no, just doesn't work. I started with the rug pad, the same kind of ones that came bundled with the PlayStation 1 and PlayStation 2 DDR games. They're about $40. They're good if you're not going to focus on getting high in difficulty and if you don't really have a lot of money. Then there are foam insert pads that you can get. All of these you can get either on Amazon or special order through video game specialty stores. An inch of styrofoam or just padded foam in the middle of basically a rug pad, but because of its design, it's a little bit more sturdy and more responsive. That's about $100, and that lasted me 3 months as opposed to the 1.5 that a rug pad did. There's only one company making, well, you called it metal pad, but it's not, you know, they don't make steel or metal pads anymore. The only company that still makes pads in that line is a company named Precision Dance Pads that makes it out of a laminate top or a plastic top and a plywood base. And those are the ones I currently use. There's three different main variants, one with four arrows, one with five, and one with 9. And the one I use is the 9, and that clocks in at $375.
Ooh, that is an actual fitness investment.
That is. And I bought two. And thankfully, when you buy two, it comes with free shipping, because these things are not light. There's a new company coming out hopefully this year with pads, but again, those ones are going to run between $600 and $800. And on top of that, if you really want to get into it, you can buy an arcade machine and hook up your computer to it, and that's going to cost you about $2,000.
That's crazy. So, I mean, really, those stores that sell fitness equipment in loan increments to like pay to buy, they should be putting DDR machines in there as well. It sounds like
they really should. But let me step away from DDR real fast. But I will say, if you're interested in Stepmania, go to their Stepmania Online and Xenius Eye Vanisher. Those are the two sites to get charts from that are very, very active. They also have packs of multiple charts together that you can grab. And they vary in quality because not all charts are created equal. You just have to try them. And if they're not good, don't do them. Don't try and push yourself too hard if it's something that you're not sure about. I highly recommend it. It's been great to combine fitness, music, video games, and streaming all into one package so I can get like an hour and a half of my life out and get so many bases covered.
That's rad.
Wii Fit is a great thing. If you have a Wii, it's not perfect. It teaches you more yoga and balance than it does athleticism. EA Active had a PlayStation 3 game full of interactive workouts. There's a whole bunch of those. Just Dance, even. Those are great games for just getting up and getting active, getting you involved in something that you enjoy, if you enjoy pop music in the case of Just Dance.
And then I remember last time you guys went to E3 Cap, you guys saw a bunch of stuff for the Kinect as far as like fitness type stuff.
Yeah, we sure did. Ubisoft, little known fact, because I don't think these games actually performed well in those respective charts. They put out a number of fitness games using the Kinect that are just really fantastic, thorough, and thoughtfully designed games that even from the initial launch of the Kinect pushed that hardware to its limits as far as tracking your skeleton and making sure, say, you were doing poses and fitness correctly, which is one of my big issues with Wii Fit, is that it's great for charting whether you've done something or not in terms of weight and balance. But I mean, like you said, it does mostly yoga poses, and you need to do those yoga poses correctly, and your pressure and balance are not necessarily going to be able to inform the software whether you have or not. You could do something very wrong, and you could hurt yourself, and it would have no way of knowing, but this Kinect stuff would, and that's the two games are Your Shape Fitness Evolved was their earliest one, and there was one that was a bit more cartoony, and that one, I think it's called Shape Up. We did interview videos at E3 with the guy who designed both these games, or was a key component in designing them. And those are great. I only got a Kinect in recent times, so I've actually never used them outside of a trade show environment. But I could tell that they were competent software. And John West, Nerdy Show host John West, he did Your Shape Fitness Evolved and liked it quite a bit, if I remember correctly.
We're going to have to get you to try Michael Phelps Push the Limit on the 360 at some point, because that game is pretty terrible.
Oh, man. What's that like?
it is a Kinect game that does body detection to simulate you swimming, basically.
How much weed do you smoke first?
pick your brand. It does the whole body detection for form and function. Like, you have to swim a certain stroke and then you have to flip. We did a wonderful YouTube video on this showcasing the... It looks like the Futurama episode where the guy has bonitis. That horrible... body detection of just this contortion. It is an eldritch horror. But that's the worst one I've done. Most of them are at least redeemable.
I know you can get a really nice light workout from playing harmonix in Disney's Fantasia game, which is a fantastic, fantastic game in general, but not a great workout game, but one where you, after playing it, you'll be like, oh, that's so strange. I can clearly tell that I've worked some muscles that I don't normally work. How odd. Who knew conducting was so hard?
Along the lines of dance fitness, I'm also a big fan of the Pontani Sisters Go-Go Robics. Is as silly and kitschy as it sounds, and you just put a DVD in and you learn all kinds of sweet 60s dance moves, and you get good music and you get to dance and work it out, and it's really easy and fun.
Sounds like a more modern version of Sweating to the Oldies.
It kind of is. It's pretty great. But you don't have to spend any money on fancy things to use with it. So it's a short-term accessible option.
Now, Lefty, you have a lot of, let's say, alternative fitness measures that you could recommend.
Yeah, I hate doing anything for just one reason. And exercising because it's going to be good for me is not motivation enough.
Yeah, I hear you.
So I like to do things like I started juggling. I actually started juggling for anger management, but it worked itself into being really great for fitness as well. And you can do it while watching TV. You can do it at commercial breaks if you want to pay more attention to TV. You can do it while you're standing around talking to people. And all you need to do is go to the dollar store and buy 3 rubber balls and go to YouTube and type in how to juggle and you'll figure it out. It's definitely a practice makes perfect thing. But like, I'm a clumsy lady. And ever since I started juggling, I still drop things as often, but I catch them like 80% of the time now. And my upper body arm strength is excellent.
And you could hypothetically change those rubber balls into weighted balls of some kind. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is once you get the basic like 3-ball thing for juggling, you will get bored. And then you just start picking up basically anything in your house that you can hold and start juggling it. Like I do a housewife act where one of the things I juggle is a bottle of Joy that I've glued the lid shut on so the soap can't get out. Like literally you'll
an
just
iron, a baby, and a chainsaw.
Basically, yeah. I actually know people who do that. But yeah, you can totally like just pick up fun things from around your house. And as long as that iron is unplugged when you're juggling it, you're going to get nice different weights. I really can't stress how awesome juggling is enough. You can literally carry 3 balls with you anywhere whenever you get bored. If you hit that point where you don't want to look at your phone anymore to pull some balls out and start juggling, it's always fun and entertaining. And if you can laugh at yourself because you're going to be dropping the balls, it's even better. And I also really like hula hooping, another thing you can purchase from a dollar store and do while you're watching TV, or, you know, you can also leave the house with it, which is great. It's so accessible and easy, and it's fun. Like, hula hooping is just kind of dancing without having to think about what your moves are.
Uh-huh.
So you can put on some fun music and put your hoop on and just start doing it. And you can, you know, just do it in one arm and just do it in the other arm. And it's fun to try to turn it into a skip it around your ankles, because that gives you a different workout. But it feels like playing and not like working out. And if you get good enough at either of these things, people will pay you to come to their nightclubs and do them.
That is a win-win. Now, were you just recommending hula hooping and walking down the street? Did you just recommend that? Because you said you could go outside. Is that what you were talking
about? Yeah. I mean, like, you can, like, well, that's the thing. It's like, once you master the basic skill of any of these things, I like to come up with fun challenges to turn it into a game. So I'll be like, I wonder if I can walk from this corner to that corner without dropping a ball while juggling. Or I wonder if I can walk around the block while hula hooping, or just like make stuff up and get silly and have fun. And, you know, if you get bored, just go do something else. But it's usually stimulating for at least 10 minutes.
Now, there's been fads in the recent past of belly dancing and pole dancing as fitness techniques. I mean, they're both very challenging things. It's totally a reasonable thing to do. But has anybody adopted burlesque performance as a fitness novelty? Have you ever seen that?
I'm sure. Yeah, I feel like I've seen it. I'm sure that there are people who do. I mean, if you can charge somebody to do something and you have the skill to teach it, like, why wouldn't you do that? The thing about a burlesque fitness program is that burlesque isn't inherently dance. Burlesque is striptease. And so, like, I'm not a dancer. I'm a theater nerd who came at it. And because I watched lots of Singing in the Rain and, you know, Molly Ringwald and Breakfast Club, I had enough moves that I could put an act together. But there's not like if you do this bump and grind, it's really good for your abs and your core. Like, it's not. There will be benefits if you do it enough, but I don't think it's not like strippers fucking work, and poles, like, that's a workout. Like, that's major upper body strength. That's lots of leg strength, lots of core strength. So what's great about things like that is you have to use your whole body. So you're actually getting stronger faster, because you're not just like, I'm working on my guns. But like, to work on your guns, you have to make sure your core is held and your legs are in the right place and da 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 da, so that you can like flip up onto the pole and spin around. And I don't know how to pole dance, but I have some friends who are terribly talented at it, and I really admire their
terribly
strength.
Terribly talented.
Terribly talented. I had a friend. I mean, like, you can do some pretty sweet superhero moves if you can pole dance proficiently. Like, I have a friend who works at a club that there's like a special VIP area upstairs, so the pole goes all the way to the ceiling of the second floor. Shit. And I've seen these girls get all the way up to the top of that pole and do like Superman moves and like flip around, and like, you're like, yes, girl, I want to be Wonder Woman on a pole. Done.
That's crazy. I've never heard of that. That's wow.
Yeah. But that requires working with other people while you exercise. And I don't like to leave my house to exercise whenever possible. I get self-conscious. Like, I love putting on music and just dancing around my living room like crazy. It's a good way to start the day.
Mm-hmm.
Or if something makes you really mad. A lot of my exercise comes from anger management. Now that I'm talking about it, if you get really mad and you need to step away from something, or else you're going to send an email that you probably shouldn't send, like, put on one of your favorite songs and then just dance as aggressively as you need to, and and then send that email, and it'll probably be more
Butterfly
productive.
Butterfly in the sky!
Just like that.
Well, Trench, how about you?
My recent foray into fitness has been more so out of necessity than anything else, but having a deep-seated and burning hatred for myself hasn't, you know, hurt me any.
Trench, when did you turn into my mother?
Oh, I've always been your mother, Steve.
Oh, God.
Don't you remember coming out of him?
My car, the transmission in my car blew up a little over a month ago. And due to other issues with the car, that was it. It went. And so this semester of school started, and so I had to start bicycling. And when I decided that I was going to do this, I mapped out everything and looked at how long it was going to take me to do it and all that stuff. Well, it was about 6 miles and 45-minute trip. Come to find out that it's actually 9 miles, and I'm not in the Tour de France and cannot do a 5-minute mile on a bicycle. So my very first day of class this semester, I ended up riding a grand total of 18 miles on a bicycle.
Wow.
And it has been 12 years since the last time I rode a bicycle.
How do you feel?
That first day, I couldn't walk for about 6 hours after I was done.
The bicycle seat is not your friend. Get a gel cover.
No, it is not. I have a really bony ass.
You gotta get them squishy britches.
The bike seats on the Huffies are real padded. I recommend that. I also do the biking thing.
Oh, I've got a sweet Schwinn.
Ooh.
You're super a real fancy. Schwinner.
Aren't I, though?
A Schwinner is you.
Get a bike and pick something one day a week that you bike to instead of drive to.
And a manageable distance.
Yeah, manageable distance, tech the distance. I've made that mistake myself. But I started biking when I moved to New Orleans, and you don't lose weight when you move to New Orleans. The food is too good. But somehow I did it, and it was because I was biking everywhere. Biking is so outrageously good for you. And even if, especially if you accidentally end up on one of those, like, oh, crap, it's 9 miles and not four like I thought, bike rides, like, that'll really help.
Because you have no choice to get home.
Yeah, I biked 6 miles to the DMV to find out I didn't bring the right paperwork, and then biked home. That was a fun day. But I sure was healthy.
Well, Matt, you had a fitness history prior to this recent car crisis. You were in the military, and I presume boot camp was a thing.
Well, in the Army, it was, you know, yeah, it was good for you, but it was also a mandatory requirement. Every day you got up and with everybody else in your unit, you went and did some manner of physical activity. So generally, it was a lot of variations on put-ups and sit-ups and running various distances. Because the Army, while I was in, we had to take a physical fitness test every so often. And the standard was you needed to do so many push-ups in 2 minutes and so many sit-ups in 2 minutes and then run a 2 mile within a certain amount of time.
Now, I have, I guess, a terrible metabolism. I became a fat kid pretty quickly growing up. And what I initially did in high school to lose weight was I went on essentially a version of the Atkins diet. I was off carbohydrates, and that went sort of the way that Atkins diets do, which is I lost weight pretty quickly, and it was easy for me once I got into college to get into really bad dietary habits and for that weight to come back. And so now I'm in a consistently kind of pudgy phase, but in the past, let's say 6 months, I haven't been adequately charting it. I've lost at least 14 pounds simply by supplementing unnecessary meals with Soylent. We've done some Soylent coverage on the past in Nerdy Show. In fact, Soylent 2.0 is one of our top 20 nerdy things of 2015. It's essentially a meal supplement. It's 400 calories in a delicious cereal-tasting beverage. Delicious is a strong word. I like it a lot. In fact, I kind of crave it. But I'm lactose intolerant, so the novelty of drinking milk is very interesting, and this thing tastes 100% like actual milk stuff, yet has no dairy component. In fact, it's vegan. So
that's awesome.
It's been great, especially because I work all the time with Nerdy Show and all the other occupations that I have. I work from home, and when you work from home, that means you work all the time. You get up, you start working immediately, which means it's very easy for me to miss breakfast and get a headache all of a sudden. So I can drink a Soylent and know that I have enough to get going. And then at night, I can not eat late. I can just drink a Soylent and have a responsible amount of calories in the middle of the night. And as a result of, I'd say, mostly getting rid of these late night meals, I've lost some poundage. And I'm under 200 pounds for the first time in a long time. And the only other time I was under 200 pounds since I gained some weight back was when I accidentally drank the water in Italy and shat for a week straight, shat and puked for a week straight. So
not a recommended weight loss plan, but effective.
Bad. Yeah, it makes for some interesting stories as well. But but Soylent's much better. I prefer Soylent by a lot. And I do work at a standing desk, and I highly recommend it.
And I don't know how you can do that, but that's also, like, my problems with that comes from cartilage deterioration in my knees and my back, so I go numb after standing for about 30 minutes.
And I probably do it recklessly because I work all the time, and I don't have, like, I need a little bit more regimentation in my life to, like, tell me, like, okay, it's time to take a break now and just sit down. Like, sometimes I'll really go at it for too long. But if you're doing a standing desk, you can also do a tree pose real quick and just, you know, get a stretch in. But it's so much easier to get a standing desk now than it used to be. When I got mine, even I think 3 or 4 years ago, it was a geek desk. It was one of the most expensive things I've ever bought. I forget what it was, but it was at least pushing $1,000. And now you can buy the parts to do a standing desk at IKEA for not even remotely that.
On the airplane here, I actually saw an ad in the like travel magazine on the plane for a addition you put on top of your existing desk to make it a standing desk. So it's like a double surface, basically.
The only trick to a standing desk is that you need, because you could just make one out of stuff you find around, but it's getting the right height. And so the adjustment is really important. And then not only is it getting the right height up to your wrists, but also to get the right height for the monitor to be at plane to your eye level. Because you'll buy a standing desk and that still won't equate for the monitor and that height. I still had to go to IKEA and buy parts to make a little stand to put my monitor on. But I love it. I think it's pretty useful. And I mean, because if you're not familiar with the thinking behind a standing desk, it's sitting will shave years off your life. It screws up your cardiovascular system to a certain degree. So, I mean, I'm sure standing too much is also bad, but sitting too much is definitely ill-advisable. So if you're working an office job, well, then the office should accommodate standing desks. I've been to the Fan Gamer offices, for example. They're all operating on standing desks, or, you know, they're adjustable.
Other office things you can do, like when I would try to be fit in my office, is like being just really aware of like where your butt is on your chair and if your posture's good. And like you'll find it'll sink as you're working, but if you just every few minutes like remember, oh, I need to sit up. That's your core muscles that you're working. When you're working on good posture, you're actually building your core. So if you can just get to a point where when you're sitting at your desk, you actually have good posture, you'll build those muscles. And then every other muscle in your body is so much easier to build.
If nothing else, take some time to walk when you can and then eat right. That's kind of the component we've kind of not addressed as much, but eating right is just as important as actually being active.
Yeah,
that's something I am terrible about right now.
Fitness is a good thing to target because like it's, you know, it's something you can actively do. And it's certainly what's on my mind because eating right is something that I put a lot of effort into, though Lefty and I just had tacos. But
those were very healthy, life-giving tacos.
I'm inclined to agree with you. But I mean, dieting has served me really well in the past. And what I need now is fitness because, like I said, my metabolism is crap. So I got to exert more effort than many would to keep slim of any kind of slim. I really enjoy yoga and wish I did that more. I mean, being regimented about physical fitness is a real pain in the ass, but if you can find some other thing, some other reason to do it, like it's great. Like I know not some people aren't into it, but I do enjoy the spiritual component to yoga, especially if you're working all the time. Like doing something that's a regimented opportunity to go within yourself is just good for you in general, regardless of how much new age spirituality you can handle. And if there's too much new age spirituality, just go to a different yoga place or get a video cassette or something.
I really recommend
a VCR and get a video cassette. I realize what I just fucking said.
Hold on to Amazon to see if they're still even selling.
I really recommend MTV started making exercise DVDs, and their very first yoga DVD has a great soundtrack and is really easy to follow and isn't too hippy dippy if you're not into that. And I think you can actually watch them on YouTube for free now. Oh. There's a lot of things you can, so if you like go to YouTube and you type in MTV Pilates or MTV yoga, like a lot of their content has been posted. So you can really work from home. And what's great is, you know, sometimes I'll just do the first 20 minutes and then I'll get back to my life.
The cheapest VCR they're offering certified refurbished is $190.
That's a premium appliance now.
Yeah, the one I bought literally a year ago for transferring VHS to DVD now comes in at $300.
Woo! Jeez. Go to a thrift store.
Ugh, the hipsters are winning.
Get a head cleaner and go to a thrift store. That's all you need. And then you can watch all the yoga VHSs that you also got from a thrift store.
Yes. Then you might even find Jane Fonda.
True.
I wonder, actually, I bet if you watch that episode of Star Trek where Troy and
Dr. Crusher
are doing their aerobics, if you just do that little 5-minute scene with them every day, I bet that would show results in time.
Yeah, all kinds of results.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would need to buy an entire wardrobe of new pants.
Not pants. No, not pants, but very futuristic, quote unquote, jazzercise outfits.
Let me just give a quick overall comprehensive thing for the generic nerd that hasn't tried doing fitness in any capacity and has a very stagnant job where they don't move much. Park far away. Take your breaks and go for walks. Bring Pokemon Go or like just any game and put on headphones and just walk in a safe place. Do cubicle exercises. There's plenty of exercises you can do in a cubicle without embarrassing yourself or making awkward sounds half the time. Take frequent bathroom breaks and walk far away. Like, go to the farthest bathroom you can find. There are easy ways to get fitness in, even if it isn't in a comprehensive, I'm out of breath and need to change my clothes kind of way.
Along the diet line, I'm a big fan of buying healthy snacks that are on me so that when I get the hunger crazies, I eat that instead of like going to McDonald's or going like to the vending machine and getting just something junky, because people make fun of me, but I buy baby food in little packets because baby food is just vegetables and fruit pureed. So it tastes good. It's easy to carry around. It's like a Go-Gurt, basically. You just like consume it. And because it's just a shot of pure nutrition, what it does for me is it enables my brain to work properly and gives me the patience to actually get my hands on a better food choice than whatever I might have grabbed otherwise. So like baby food is awesome. Getting those like fruit roll-ups that are made with real fruit is awesome. Nature's Valley granola. Like, keep these things just in your car, or if you carry a laptop bag or a purse, like keeping like one of each of those kinds of snacks in your bag. So you can also be moody. You can be like, oh, I don't want the, you know, healthy plantain chips. I wanted the baby food today, or whatever. You can just grab whatever you're in the mood for so that you can still be fussy about what you want to eat and make smarter choices.
That I've never heard that suggestion before.
I've met one person who also eats baby food and admits to it. And like everybody else I know makes fun of me, but it's great food. It's easy. It's cheap. It travels well. Like, there's nothing bad I can say about keeping baby food on your body so that you can have a good snack instead of a bag of Cheetos.
Well, we hope you found this helpful. If you have any questions for us at all, do reach out to us, and we'd be happy to offer any further advice. And if you have any particular recommendations, let us know. Start a thread on the Nerdy Show forums and tell everybody what you do for nerd fitness. So, Lefty, earlier you mentioned the Nerdlesque Festival in April. What are the dates? What do people need to know? Where can they see you next?
Yeah, the Nerdlesque Festival in April is April 28th through 30th. It's at historic Webster Hall on 11th Street in New York. We got almost 200 applications this year. We will have less than 40 performers total. So it really is the best of nerdy burlesque from around the world getting on one stage and having a blast. But if you're in New Orleans or near New Orleans, I'll be performing in two nerdy burlesque shows this weekend. On the Friday, I think it's the 27th, is Bob's Burlesque, which is a scripted burlesque play based on Bob's Burgers. I will be playing Louise. And then on Sunday, I will be in a Marvel vs. DC burlesque show where you get to see me do my rarely performed Shadowcat act, complete with puppet Lockheed.
Woo! Man, I wish I could see that. I hope it trickles onto the video. And if you haven't ever seen Lefty perform, you can find videos of many of your performances online.
Mm-hmm. I have a Vimeo. I think there's a YouTube. I don't know. I don't maintain it. You can watch like my Riddler act and my robot act and my tribute to Hitchcock's Psycho act on my Vimeo.
And recently your Delirium act was retweeted or something by Neil Gaiman?
Yeah. I co-produced a Neil Gaiman burlesque show this past summer after MechaCon, and Neil Gaiman was really bummed that he wasn't in town to see it and tweeted at us about it and commented on Facebook and everything. And it was pretty sweet. I'm pretty honored that we got that recognition.
That's rad. Thanks so much to Starf again for requesting this microsode. We're an entirely listener-supported podcast and podcast network, and your contributions help keep us alive and also help prompt single-topic conversations like this. So you should head to nerdyshow.com/support, where you'll discover all the ways to help us out, including subscribing on our Patreon, which gives you a ton of special bonus features, including but not limited to, like, on occasion, we'll have special exclusive episode releases. And in this case, Lefty and I did something really weird. We watched some Don Bluth films. We watched All Dogs Go to Heaven and Rock-A-Doodle, and then got real confused and recorded an episode about it. So if you're a Patreon supporter at $5 or more, you can hear this. If that's something of interest to you, that's just a sliver of the hundreds of hours of content that we have for you over there. Taking us out, we actually have a track by Starf. Yes, the same person who requested this topic. Starf is not only a proud Nerdy Show supporter, but also a nerdcore artist. And it just so happens, from his 2014 record, Have Some Fun, He did a dance track, which is totally perfect for working out to, called Now You're Dancing with Portals. So you can hear Starf and hundreds of other amazing artists at Nerdy FM, our streaming nerd music site and app. And this is Now You're Dancing with Portals. Bye, I'm Cap.
Bye, I'm Lefty.
Bye, I'm Steve-O.
I'm Trench.
So watch me do my portal dance. So much more to do. Preoccupied.